great state of Texas with one of America's greatest, most devoted, and most loyal friends, Prime Minister Modi of India. Thank you. Thank you. And Prime Minister Modi is doing a truly exceptional job for India and for all of the Indian people. It is my immense privilege to be here with him today at this profoundly historic event. We're especially grateful to be joined by over 50,000 incredible members of our nation's thriving, prospering, flourishing, and hardworking Indian American community. Thank you. Just a few months ago, in the largest democratic election in the history of our world, 600 million Indians went to the polls and voted overwhelmingly for Prime Minister and his party. Congratulations, Mr. Prime Minister. That's a lot of people.
Good evening, everybody. We're listening to President Trump speak today from Houston, Texas, at a very large group of Indian Americans and Prime Minister Modi.
Join me in wishing you a very happy birthday. Happy birthday. I want to take a moment to address every resident of Houston affected by the recent horrible flooding. The entire American nation is standing by your side. We're ready. We love you. We support you. We will be there with you every single step of the way. I just left the Coast Guard hangar at Ellington Field, Joint Reserve Base, where I was briefed on the Texas flooding. We're working with your great Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Attorney General Ken Paxton, and Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz. Thank you very much. We're working hard together. My administration will not rest until you have fully recovered, restored, and rebuilt. And I know you will come back with the same tremendous spirit that we have shown every single time. Every time there's been a problem, it's called Houston Strong. Prime Minister Modi and I have come to Houston to celebrate everything that unites America and India, our shared dreams and bright futures. I've also come to express my profound gratitude to the nearly 4 million amazing Indian Americans all across our country. You enrich our culture. You uphold our values. You uplift our communities, and you are truly proud to be American, and we are proud to have you as Americans. We thank you, we love you, and I want you to know my administration is fighting for you each and every day. I want to recognize U.S. Ambassador to India, Kenneth Jester, and Minister Jaishan Kaur of India. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're also proudly joined by NASA Deputy Administrator Jim Morhart, Deputy Secretary of Energy Dan Brouillette, Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky, your State Attorney General Ken Paxton, a couple of very great senators, Kevin, thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. We have a lot of senators. We have a lot of Congress people. There's Mr. Brady. Congressman Brady. He gave us a very, very nice tax cut, folks. Thank you, Gavin, very much. Thank you all for being here. Among the leaders here today for this remarkable celebration are many members of the House and Senate. They're all over the audience, including House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and again, Senators Cornyn, Cruz. In my campaign for president, I promised all of that If we were elected, India would have a true and great friend in the White House. And I can tell you, you have never had a better friend as president than President Donald Trump. That I can tell you. The Prime Minister knows that. On this day, I'm happy to report that the relationship between the United States and India is stronger than ever before. The ties between our two nations are grounded in our common values and our shared commitment to democracy. We are free nations with great faith and a fierce devotion to our national independence. We are governed by the rule of law, guided by commitment to justice, and strengthened by our love of liberty. Our two national constitutions both begin with the same three beautiful words, we the people.
Hate to interrupt this great speech, but we will start the prayer call in just a minute or so. We're listening to President Trump speak from Houston earlier today to a group of about 20,000 American Indians in Houston, Texas, and Prime Minister Modi from India in attendance.
And thriving Republic of India. In a single decade, with the help of Prime Minister Modi's pro-growth reforms, India has lifted nearly 300 million people out of poverty. And that is an incredible number. Incredible. That's incredible. In the next decade, 140 million Indian households will rise to the middle class. In both India and the United States, we're seeing something really remarkable. Our people are prospering like never before because we are slashing bureaucracy and cutting job-killing red tape. In the United States, thanks to our...
Well, it's 6 o'clock Pacific, but I'm going to give it another minute, folks. Let some more people come in. We're up to 19, and I expect another 5 or 10 more, so let's give it another minute. Thank you.
Since my election, we have created over 6 million new jobs. We have created over 750,000 jobs right here in Texas. And very importantly, that includes 70,000 new Texas manufacturing jobs. They said that couldn't be done. Unemployment. Think of this. Unemployment in Texas is currently at the lowest rate ever recorded in the history of our country. Unemployment in the United States has just reached the lowest level in over 51 years, and very soon we think that will be broken to be a 50-year number. Unemployment among African Americans, Asian Americans.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for September 22nd, Sunday night. It's another great night to get together and pray for President Trump, and we'll do our two prayers as always. The first prayer that he will lead for President Trump, and Christine will lead our second prayer for the continued prayers for the reset of the rule of law. I am Scotty Sack, your host, and I welcome those of you from throughout the country and to our friends in Houston, where President Trump is speaking today. We wish you all the best, Godspeed, in recovering again from another storm. So without further ado, let's get into our first prayer. Good evening, Betty. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? How's everybody on the call?
Hopefully all is well on the call. I'm doing great. It's another beautiful sunsetting night in Southern California, and the floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, You know, I reading the word, I'm struck over and over again how often God wants us to pray for our leaders and to respect the fact that they are there and that he raises up people and he brings them down. And so we're doing just the right thing, Scotty, you calling for this prayer call, so let's all bow our heads for our president. Heavenly Father, we come before you in praise, knowing that your word, not one word, is going to go unfulfilled, Lord, and you are going to honor everything that you have said and fulfill every promise. And so you promise, Lord, that you will watch over us, that you will hear our prayers, that you will hear the prayer of a holy and righteous people. And so we on the call, we lift up our prayers for our president who needs you so much. He's being attacked on every side, Lord, but we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we don't have to cower. We don't have to be afraid of all of their attacks. We just have to simply look to you and trust and ask that you would protect him, that you would send angels to protect him, that you would surround him with wise advisors, Lord, and that you would help him to withstand all those darts, that he would be impervious to any of the attacks, that he would be secure in all of those who are surrounding him with wisdom and with righteousness, because what they want to do is get this country back on the right path, Lord. What we want is a righteous country, one that is back in your hands and controlled by you, Lord, and ordained by you. And so we ask that you would give him wisdom as he makes decisions, as he talks to world leaders, Lord. Would you give him just the right words to be able to really connect with them? And I pray that they would be able to turn each of their economies around and that he would be able to offer them something and that they would be able to offer something in return. And that you would free us, Lord, from the enslavement we've got to the world where everybody is sitting there with a handout, but on the backs of the American people, Lord, and it can't happen anymore. And so I pray that he would be able to move forward with all of his policies, that he would have the courts behind him, that you would continue to raise up an honest judicial system, Lord, so that Trump could be able to fulfill your word through the policies and through the laws, and that he would be able to sign off executive orders, Lord, leading to righteous ends. Be with him as he has to be a father and a grandfather and a husband. I pray that he would still be able to honor his family commitments, but Lord, give him the strength, an extra measure of strength, to be able to lead this country. The attacks are plentiful. The oppression is huge, Lord, but you are victorious. With you, there is victory. And so it is a light burden because the burden is yours, Lord, and it falls on your shoulders. You've got the whole world in your hands, Lord, and you are using our president in order to be able to get things right. And so help him to fight the corruption. Help him to have people good intel, Lord, and help him to be able to do your will. As we move into the 2020 election cycle, Lord, I pray that you would be with him, that he would have the strength and the stamina to be able to do all of that campaigning, that his wife would be able to be there at his side and still be able to fulfill her responsibilities as a mom, and that you would be able to uphold him and take him through the election process. Lord, set this country straight and use your servant Trump. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Well, thank you, Betty. Another awesome prayer. And as you were praying, I was thinking when I agreed to launch Prayers for 45 with my partners, those Christian broadcasters that remain silent, I did not know who was going to lead prayers or how I was going to pull this off. But, you know, God had a plan, and he brought me people just like you who are on the same page as you were talking about things that just register with me, handouts. The Socialist Democratic Party is moving further and further to the left. All they have to offer is handouts, and I believe for that reason, as you spoke about the 2020 election cycle, it comes to mind that President Trump is being given a pathway to an overwhelming victory in 2020. I don't like to make predictions, but I think he'll get 65% of the popular vote, because this Democrat Socialist Party cannot moderate itself and bring itself to appeal to any sort of mass American popularity. And this president is spot on, and Betty, your prayers are spot on, and I thank you for being amazing, coming to us and devoting your time in prayer. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, we are continuing to pray for the reset of the rule of law, and we've been talking a lot about the end game, and that's what we're praying for, the end game that we get back to our republic, our constitution, and our sovereignty, above all, the rule of law and sovereignty. And we're kind of working backward because there's a framework. We talked about the plan last call. There's a framework that was laid 12/21/2017. In order to reset the rule of law, President Trump issued an executive order blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse and corruption. Well, that is a sweeping umbrella for everything from pedophilia to human trafficking to Uranium One and all the things that are going to be held over the cabal's head. And so we see this groundwork laid back in 2017. And for those people who say nothing's happening, you got to go back to 17 in 12/21 executive order and say, why would President Trump have issued this EO? It's for one of his first executive orders, blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights, because he did it for the very reason we're praying for the reset of the rule of law. The United States Treasury, is quietly seizing the assets of all of these bad actors, from the Nexium case, the sex cult out of New York, backed by the Seagram Bronfman sisters, had tens of millions of dollars behind them. They were trafficking women under the guise of a self-help group for women, and had millions of dollars in assets and real estate and cash, and God knows what other assets were seized. Epstein's assets seized. I believe quietly people like George Soros and others have had, not all, a lot of these people have many assets that are probably hidden, but seizing the assets of the people, the bad actors that they can get to. So our prayers are definitely simply supporting the groundwork that was laid by President Trump. And to that end, I bring in Christine. If I can find you on the board, I know you're here, Christine. One second. I think you're calling in. I apologize, folks. I'm having trouble getting into the dashboard. I'm going to have to call in. Betty, if you would, hold the call. I've got to call back in, and I'll be right back so I can get to Christine and unmute her. Thanks for the patience, everybody. I'll be right back.
Well, I'm here, holding the call now. Hope everybody's doing well. Beautiful day here in sunny California.